You all know I had to ask him to come back. Welcome back, Lynn Gaffney, you all. Recce master, master teacher, and now he's added author to his resume with his book, Mastering All That I Am. If you want to know more about Lynn, I actually provide his bio on episode 126 in season 5. I will have all the episodes that Lynn and I have done together thus far linked in the show notes. Get ready. This is a great one. As you already know, welcome back to LifeVerbs Podcast, Lynn Gaffney, and thank you, Lynn Gaffney, for your yes. Hey, I'm Coach Zen. I support you in elevating your energy and coming out of what was into what truly is. LifeVerbs Podcast is an empowering podcast serving as a valuable resource for nurturing your inner self and deepening your inner standing. Here, you will discover valuable insight to support you in living a fulfilling and purposeful life. Here, we have enlightening convos about this journey that we all are on collectively. The journey of life. Get ready to hydrate your soul and fortify your spirit. There's a lot of shifting happening right now within this year of 2024 and beyond. A lot of people are experiencing things with jobs. You know, we're on another grid. We're on another timeline in this moment. And it sounds like that happened for you, you know, a little bit earlier. And it's amazing how once you made that decision as I'm going to let go of this so that I can make more space for what is in front of us and the timeline that you and your wife are supposed to be on now with having this beautiful space of healing environment, but it got loud. It seems like it got loud, like with the COVID, your lung collapse, all this. What would you say to somebody who's listening to this podcast right now, who's like, this is really speaking to me, but they still have a fear of the unknown around taking that leap and doing what's necessary, doing what their intuition, which is your guided system that's 100% accurate, Lynn knows this, y'all, that's telling them move forward and they keep hesitating. What would you say from someone who message got so loud, you experienced all that, and now this is where you both have arrived and the lives that you all have truly supported in transforming that have literally graced the healing environment, the lovely events that you've had there. What would you say to that person?
I tell you this, we all who because we signed up for this incarnation and this earth plane of existence during this time, because this time of shifting, this is a time of incredible shifting for everyone. And so we are the folks that are that have signed up to be part of the cleanup crew. Mm-hmm. And so we've signed up to help everybody else shift, but we have to shift too. So that means that we've signed up for a particular purpose. Yeah. And so bells get rung subtly, the bells get rung louder, and then if we don't listen, spirit chokes you.
Spirit Shirley, honey, Spirit, and, look, I like to say it's truth screaming in your face, got snot and drool hanging out, and it's like
you it chokes you. And here's the irony of that, Zen. I didn't listen that time. So that happened in August of 2021, right? And I came back to work 3 months later, and by December of 2021. We had opened up the soft opening of the healing environment. Then 2022, January, we had a grand opening, right? And so the beginning of January, I had told my boss, I'm going to work all of 2022. I'm going to quit at the end of the year because I've got this schedule in my mind. Mm-hmm. Because I still have this control. Mm-hmm. I have this divine masculine that has served me well. For 50 something years, right? And so I'm not gonna leave it now. And so I told him, I said, I'm gonna quit at the end of the year because my wife and I have this business and I'm gonna step into my purpose gradually. So
he said gradually.
Yeah. So January, February, March, I mean, all the months preceding. Now I was very successful at my job. I managed to use my blessed gifts to help people and get promoted in a company, but when you're here for a purpose, you can't do both. You cannot do both. And so as the months passed, I grew increasingly angry about the job that I used to love. Mm. And it was July of 2022. I lost my voice for 2 weeks. I couldn't speak at all.
Throat chakra.
I couldn't speak at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time when I had to go through workshop events and I had to be online, had to talk. I couldn't talk for 2 weeks. And so the spirit was choking me again, literally. Right. And so it was the first week of August, the anniversary of me getting in the hospital. I'm sitting here at this desk and my boss at that time, he gives me another duty to add on to the list of duties that I'm already doing because I'm good at my job. Mm-hmm. So I do everything that everybody else can't do. Mm-hmm. So I have this long list of stuff. And so I texted back to him. I said, listen, I can't do all of these. I said, we're going to have to throw something out. And then he said, well, let's in our next one-on-one, let's talk about it, and you want you to make a list and prioritize the list, and we'll talk about the things that you can't do. Now, that's what a boss should say.
Mm-hmm. Right? 1,000%, yeah.
I lost it. I sat here. I started cursing. Tears were running down my street. I mean, I said, I can't do this. Jamaica was upstairs in the master bedroom with my grandson. They lay on the bed. I'm walking in there and tears were flowing down. And I said, baby, I can't do this anymore.
It was it.
And you know Jamaica. Mm-hmm. She's pragmatic. She says, she looks at me, she says, baby, you said that a year ago. So right then, we talked about finances, 401ks, all of that stuff. We talked about all of that. Mm-hmm. And it was that point when I had to release the fear. And so I gave my company 3 weeks because it was like it's good till the rest to the end of August. I gave them to the end of August to really get more people to hand off all of this stuff because one person can't take over what I was doing. And so at the end of August, I left. And it was right then when I released all of the energy that no longer serves me and I replaced it. So from the end of August until now, I had the greatest awakening and the greatest opening of activation that I've had in 10 years.
Wow.
And it's amazing what I say, because when you're here for a purpose, you're here for a purpose. And so you have to understand that you signed up to do this. Whether you're in this earthly plane of existence and you're dealing with everyday challenges and everything else, reality is you signed up for this. And so when it struck me and I lost my voice for 2 weeks and I'm like, this is what I'm not supposed to be doing. And all it took was an arbitrary note back from him, and I lost it. But I had sort of gained. I was angrier, and I no longer loved the job that would serve me well. I love calibration. I love working for NASA. I love doing all of this technical stuff. I hated it. So that's when I had to walk away, and I had to understand who I was. And that's when everything started happening. And it was January of 2023. I had a numerology reading from a numerologist, right? And it was three days before my birthday, right? In January. And he talked about, and so he told me about, you know, I've already knew that I was a master number, I was a master 11, all of that. So we talked about everything involved around that. And guess what he brought up? He says, now it's time for you to write your book.
There it is again. Writing that book. Like,
yeah. And so I said, okay. And then he said, just start writing. And he said, and he gave me some tips and suggestions of a recorder or anything else. And so, but I have been an absolutely great creative writer since high school. Since my college courses, I've been an absolutely phenomenal creative writer. That's one of my gifts.
Stop searching and start traveling. Let True Vacation manage your plans so you can experience the freedom of exploration. With services designed for individuals, couples, families, or groups, cruises to far-off destinations, or tickets for a night out on the town are just keystrokes away. True stands for travel, relax, unwind, and explore. Follow them on Instagram @true_vacation_4U. And on Facebook @truevacation. Mention promo code LIFEVERBS to receive $50 off, you all, on your first full reservation deposit. Come on, somebody. Explore what this world has to offer with just one click. So why wait? Unleash your wanderlust today with True Vacations and see where adventure takes you next. This information is also located in the show notes.
And so once he said that, I'm like, okay. So after every day in meditation, every morning, I tap in and I knew that today was a writing day. And I would sit down at this desk and start writing. And I knew where to start. I knew I needed to start at 4 years old at the funeral of my grandfather, because I remember that vividly. Yeah. I remember my grandfather's funeral when I was 4 years old. And I remember what I asked my mom. And I said, that's pivotal. And so I started remembering things in details that I'm like, wow, I remember all of this. And it took me probably 4 weeks from the day I started to the day I finished to write that book. And I was done. And it was, and I would tell Jamaica, today's a writing day. And I knew it was a writing day after meditation. And I would sit down and I would write all day chapters. And then I would just write. And then I would wait 2 or 3 days. And then all of a sudden out of my meditation, I know today's a writing day. And I would just surrender to it. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely knew what I was vulnerable. I was honest. I told my story. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything.
And your full story.
My full story.
Full story from beginning to end. Like, I just want to add that, because mastering all that I am, like, it literally goes from the very beginning all the way till the present. And that's what I love so much about the book. It's not giving you, oh, these are the four steps and mastering all that you are and all this. It's like, no, I want you to literally read my journey and all of the things that I experienced, especially in chapter 5, when you were talking about your father. And one of my questions to you is this: How did the perception of your father change after that incident happened? Because beforehand, you wanted to be like your dad, right? Like, and I also want you to answer that too. Like, what was it? We all want to be like our parents, but what was it about your father that was so grand at that time? And then when that incident occurred, and y'all gotta read the book to see the incident, okay, that occurred, that's a big shift. Yeah. That goes from putting your father on a pedestal to all of a sudden, oh, I really don't care for you like that. Like you're no longer on that pedestal for me. Like, I know you're my father, but my respect for you has shifted.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've got to talk about is, and my family was a representative of it, because my mom is dark skin, mm-hmm. okay, and my dad is my complexion, and my younger brother is the color of my mom. Mm. And my sister is the color of me and my dad, right? But she's the only girl. So I'm the middle kid, and I have his name. Mm. And so from the time that I was born, I wanted to be like him. From the time I could remember, you know, he'd be in the bathroom shaving and I'd be next to him, you know, mimicking shaving. And just because I wanted to be like him. But as I grew of myself, and I realized that I was more like my mom and less like my dad. Because my dad was a type of person that was a worldly guy. He was out there. He was very popular. You know, he would go in, you know, he'd work, he'd have two jobs. He worked at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and then he worked at, he did part-time security at a department store. And he'd walk in his plain clothes, and he'd get dressed up, you know, walking through the store, like, you know, like you dressed up looking for a suit or looking for whatever. But he, you know, that's what he did. And then he was very popular with the females at the counters and all of that. So I remember I'd worked at a grocery store, Kroger's, and it was in the same complex. And I would walk over there and I'd see him, and he'd just be in his element, right? But when he came home, he was different. He was always different. And I didn't realize why he was different. I know now. And I embrace and accept why he was different. But he was a different guy out there. And the more that I saw him in his element, the more I'm thinking, excuse me, the language, this is bullshit. This is not the guy. This is not the man. And then it doesn't help things when your mom said you're just like your daddy. That's that pre-programmed DNA that's environmental affects your DNA that says, you know, because you hear it and you says you're just like your dad. But I wasn't. I wasn't even close to being on it. I was in the basement all the time, learning how to draw. My mom was an artist. I was in the basement singing all the time. My mom was a classical singer. I was in the basement doing all of that because I was just like her. But my mom had an anger about her that I didn't resonate with. And so, but so it's like, well, I got to be like him. And everybody, you know, back then you got that barriers of skin complexion, and it's still going on today.
It still happens today. It
was very pervasive in our family, and on my mom's side and on my dad's side, because my dad's side they were lighter, and on my mom's side, all my mom, they were darker. And so there was this antagonistic divide between them, and you can feel it. It was palpable. And so but I look like him, have his name, and all of that. But when he had that conversation my junior year in the chapter, and I talked about it, and I knew he was lying. I knew he was lying. But I just said, okay, you know, because if they were going to get divorced and that was going to be the end of it, and better yet, because he was abusive. You know, he was, you know, he did some things in the household and all of that stuff, abusive and domestic violence and all of that was pervasive. But But when that happened, and then what happened the next day after that is what realized that I needed to, I developed an anger about him, and I hated him. And I hated him with a passion, because mm-hmm. I am not like you. I'm not a player. I didn't have my first girlfriend until I was 18 years old. And so I, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
And I was an introvert. You know, it took a lot for me to muster up the courage to even talk to a female, let alone, what he did, I mean, they just came to him.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's when I started to develop my own character. And it was a false character, because I developed something that allowed me to cover up the trauma that I didn't want to deal with. But eventually the covers have to come off.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to face that trauma. And you have to deal with that trauma. And I had to deal with that trauma. But it took a hell of a lot to me to deal with it, because it's so funny, when I turned 38 is when stuff started turning on, right? And I'm working for NASA, and I'm, you know, going to the gym, and I'm working out, and this yoga instructor, I knew her. I'd been in Florida for 7.5 years, and so she's a yoga instructor there for a time there. And then all of a sudden, I guess her spirit said it was time to talk to Lynn. And then she and I struck up a rapport, started talking. And then, you know, me back then, you know, I wanted to increase the probability of women coming up to me. So I started working out. Hey, it worked.
It worked fast.
It worked. So listen, that tipped the scales like it did. And so I was, and I competed in bodybuilding tournaments and all of that back then. So
you went all the way. Oh, you absolutely. Wow. You didn't just work out. You did the bodybuilding tournaments. Yeah. Cause I read that. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that about Lynn.
Oh yeah. I went knee deep in. I got my trophies in the garage right here. So they over here in the garage, but yeah. And so I did all of that. And so when she came up to me and started talking, and all of a sudden she kissed me on the lips out of nowhere. And I'm like, no, what's up with this? But it intrigued me.
That probability worked in your favor.
Probability.
Mission accomplished.
And so she suggested that I take a yoga class. I ain't never took a yoga class up till then. Right. And so I took her class, and then she wanted, and it was like, okay, you know, she during the week she can come over to the house, and she came over to my apartment. And that's when she struck up and started telling me things about me. She started telling me, you are a healer. I see white light all over you. And she says, you and I were known each other in a past life in Egypt. And I'm thinking, the hell? Because I grew up Baptist. I don't know nothing
exactly.
About
exactly. And I was going to ask you, so you hearing this, what was your initial thought? Because you had not arrived yet with the consciousness that you have now. So did you think she's talking out of her mind? What were you thinking at that
you
time?
Be honest. You be honest.
Yeah. Be all the way honest.
She was fine.
Oh, so you were into it. You were like, yeah, baby.
Listen. I'm gonna listen to whatever you got coming, because you fine. You coming over two times a week? We swinging off the chandeliers. Listen. I'm all for listening to everything that you got to tell me. So
ladies who are listening to this podcast, let it be known when someone is into you, they are truly all the way into you, even if they have no idea. Look, I don't know what you into. I don't know what you're talking about. But hey, if this means that we can be present with each other more, I'm in.
Oh, and I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna keep it real. And here's what happened though. As we started seeing each other, stuff started activating in me. I started feeling energy flowing. I started, she started giving me books. And she gave me books about the soul and everything. And I started reading them from cover to cover. And then, I mean, we started talking about meditation, and I started seeing silhouettes of spirits floating around in my ceiling. Stuff started happening. And so it made me a believer in it. So the more that we were together, the more that I wanted to know and learn from her. And then I took the ball and ran it myself. I'm like, okay, I would go to Barnes & Noble, and that was before the internet. I didn't have a computer, so I'd go to Barnes & Noble, and I'd go to the spiritual section, and whatever it resonated with, I'd get the book, and I'd read it. I'd buy the book, and I'd read it. And she also told me, funny thing, she says, you're not going to be with NASA much longer. But it was amazing that what started out was my interest in her physically, mm-hmm. It grew spiritually.
Spiritually.
And then things started happening. I started to feel tightness and all that. What, am I dying? I'm like, no, your body's changing.
And I couldn't, and it
was like, wow. And then that's when it started at 38, and it's been moving progressively ever since. And so that's when I knew that there was something. I didn't know how special or powerful that I was back then, because I'm 38. What do I know? But I tell you what, it took me on a journey that has been absolutely amazing, and I wouldn't change one single bit of it for anything.
Hey y'all, Pink Lady here. I'm a podcast producer, director, coach, and host. And I want to tell you all about my production company, Pink Lady Productions. We collaborate with creatives like you who are driven to share your message by launching your podcast from A to Z and coaching you through the process. To learn more about our services, check out our website at pinkladyprod.com. That's P-I-N-K. LadyProd.com.
What was that timeline when she had stated you won't be working for NASA too much longer? And then when you left, what was that timeline?
It was about a year and a half. So, and I'm like, okay, well, because I love my job. But one day NASA said, with cuts and everything, we don't need you anymore. And I'm like, oh, dude. And so I went to the library and I started putting in for jobs. And within a week, I got an interview in Orlando, the home office in Orlando. And I interviewed because I was smart. I was a metrologist. I knew my shit. And so when I interviewed them, they were like, we need you immediately, but it's in Chicago. And so I remember driving to Chicago. It was like minus 15 below. And I had a jacket because I'm living in Florida. I have no coat. And I'm like, what the hell? And so it was then that I started to understand what I needed to do. And I didn't stop there. I started, I bought my first computer. Online dating was in its infancy. So not a whole lot of women had pictures.
Y'all had to read the profile.
There was no swipe left or swipe right. Swipe right. It was like, and then the pictures were very grainy, so you really couldn't see how they looked. And so there was a lot of. So I was trying to use my intuition.
Intuition, 1,000%.
Because I knew that the woman that I needed to meet was going to take me to the next level. And I finally got a couple times. I was like, nah, that didn't work. And so just I focused in, and it was the teacher for the real. That's what was her title on the profile. And I'm like, that's her. I knew it. And we were together for about a year, something year and a half or something like that. And then because she had just gotten a divorce, and I was the first person that she dated after the divorce. And so she still had her trauma. And that's why we didn't last, because I started picking up things that she needed to heal from. But it was amazing that she taught me so much. And that's when the freaky stuff started happening. That's when the scary shit started happening when I outdated her. Because I'm that guy that, okay, I'm a science guy. I need to be proven things. Well, I got proven a lot. And I got in that experience. I'll share one with you, right?
Please do, because that was my next question, was which specific event or challenge had the biggest impact on your journey? Because you speak on so many situations, experiences, challenges, difficulties that took place in your life. That's why you gotta get this book. You gotta get this book, because when you read this book, you discover that you're truly not alone in this journey. Yeah. All of us, that's what it is. It is a journey, and we're all experiencing, even though it may look highlighted on social media and on Instagram, we all are on this journey of truly mastering all that we are. And we will be on this journey until the day we transition and enter into another life.
Yes. Most definitely. Most definitely. And you have help in more ways that you even realize. And so much is happening in the background. And you may think that you're stagnant, but it's so much is happening to you in the background that is moving you forward. But our ability is that our challenge is we got to get out of our own way, and we have to be patient. We have to be still. Because there are certain times where we have to be still.
Talk about that stillness.
Yeah, and allow our bodies to adjust, allow us to regenerate, to get the rest, if we're feeling tired a lot. That's us getting our DNA upgrade, going up, reprogramming. That takes a lot of our avatar bodies. And so we have to understand what we're going through. There's a whole lot happening in the background.
And a holistic way, in a holistic way, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. All of it has to be recalibrated. You're not able to keep one piece of what you were doing. All of it has to shift.
Yes, most definitely. So I'll share one with you, right? So, and so we had started talking about some, because I knew that she was an empath, a psychic. So we had started really connecting at a close level. And when we got to a point where we were really comfortable with each other, I lived in the suburbs, right? And so she lived in the city. She was a teacher in the city of Chicago. So I had to drive to Chicago on Friday after work, and then I'd stay there over the weekend, and then I'd drive back on Sunday, right? First weekend I stay there, right? I have to get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, right? And so, okay. And you have to understand, I am still that guy. I no longer competed, but I was rigid about my nutrition. I was rigid about my training, all of it. I've been like that. And so I had to get up and use the bathroom. Well, in her bathroom, next to the commode, there's a window sill. And there's a book there. There's a book sitting on the window sill. And it was about spirit guides, consciousness. It was sort of an all-encompassing type of book, right? And so I'm sitting there using the bathroom, and I start reading the book, right? So that night, I have to get up 5 times to use the bathroom. And each time I get up, I pick up the book, right? Wow. And so I didn't get a whole lot of sleep that first night. Saturday night, same thing happens then. I have to get up 5 times. Now I'm thinking, what did I eat? I'm thinking logically. Did I eat something?
Exactly. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Excuse my language. It's like heavy loads that's coming at it for some reason. I'm like, what is up with this, right? But each time I sit down, I pick up the book and I read it, right? Okay. Now Sunday, I'm tired because I ain't got no sleep. You know, in between us going, getting freaky and everything
you'll have much energy in you because you were loads were coming out. And it's so interesting. I just want to say real quick, Lynn, it's so interesting that you're reading this book about spirit guides and consciousness as you're purging.
Yes.
At the same time.
And I didn't know it was purging. I just thought, you know, the hell did I eat? And so I'm driving back on Sunday. Now, bear in mind, She's deader than a log. She ain't woke up every time I woke up. She ain't done nothing. And I hadn't said anything to me. And so next weekend, I drive down. Friday night, same thing happens. Five times, I have to get up and use the bathroom. Each time, I pick up the book. Now, my dumb ass ain't said nothing to her. Now, I don't know. Maybe it was there was preventing me from saying something to her. And no, she wasn't supposed to say anything to me. But I'm getting up five times at night. Friday night, Saturday night, same thing happens. Right? And so I'm exhausted by this time. You know, and so I'm driving back home. I'm just sleeping and getting rest, and I had to go to work Monday, all of this stuff. So, okay, next week, the third weekend I go down, I'm gonna solve this shit. I'm gonna fast all day Friday. I'm not gonna eat anything. So I'm like, okay, I got this. Right? Friday night, same thing happens. I'm like, until I finish the book Saturday.
And that's when it stopped, when you finished the book. That you stopped purging. Yo.
And I finally mentioned it to her. And she says, quote unquote, they wanted me to place the book there.
That's it.